Welcome to today's episode of Watchful
with Bethy Hernandez
and Sophia Rutter.
Two cousins talk movies and TV.
Basically, if it's entertainment related, we got you covered.
Today we're discussing Spider-Man No Way Home.
Alright, it has been so long that we both are almost awkward doing this, but we are here because we could not be more excited to talk about Spider-Man, and we wanted Nixie to talk about it for a very long time. So, happy return, our last episode ever. We don't know what we're doing, but you're here and having fun.
You know what? Why not?
Exactly. We love Spider-Man, so we have to.
Exactly.
All right. So, we are going to be talking major spoilers today. So
All the spoilers.
Basically, right off the bat, as soon as we stopped talking about just how well this movie's been received. So, I would say don't even listen to more than a minute.
Yeah.
Just go out and see it. I mean, yeah. If you haven't seen film Twitter already telling you, what are you doing?
If you've managed to escape spoilers already, I'm impressed.
Yeah. My brother hasn't seen it and doesn't have any spoilers yet.
When is he going to go see it?
We're going tomorrow.
Okay,
I'm going
good.
Again tomorrow.
Good.
Probably. Yeah. It's insane. All right. So first of all, I knew this movie was going to do well.
Mm-hmm.
But with like Omicron popping up in the last couple weeks, I was starting to be a little nervous. But I could already tell, I knew for a long time that this movie was going to make more money than anyone thought. Just on what I was seeing online. And I was right. It made $260 million domestically, beating out Infinity Wars, $253, to become the second biggest domestic opening ever.
Wow.
Which is literally insane. And also, Endgame is 350-something.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Endgame...
It's not that far off.
I don't know if anyone can ever top Endgame again.
Yeah.
Until, like, inflation really goes up for a while.
Yeah.
The fact that it beat out Infinity War, mm-hmm. with the amount of characters in Infinity War...
Yeah.
Is legit insane.
It is insane. And honestly, the fact that it made that much during a pandemic.
Yeah.
That is worsening as we, like, literally as we speak.
It's heightening day by day.
Very, very impressive.
Exactly. And because the big headline going into the weekend was it was going to be the first movie since the COVID era, not, like, post-COVID.
Yeah.
We're clearly still in it. And the COVID era that broke $100 million in its first weekend.
Yep.
It's got $260 million. That is insanity. So... And also, globally, it got $600 million over that,
jeez.
Making it the third biggest global opening ever, and it's already on track to, like, make $1 billion if the hype stays up.
Mm-hmm.
And with audience reactions, which have been very positive.
Very, very positive.
Insanely positive. I see this making, it depends on Omicron, because in Europe, it really is scary over there, so we'll see. But I think this is going to break $1 billion. As well, so
wow,
crazy.
I mean, I don't know as much about the numbers as you, but mm-hmm. I do know that is crazy insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I know just from going to the movie theater and seeing the amount of people there when we saw it was just like crazy. I've not seen a movie theater mm-hmm. packed in since Endgame, probably. And I've never, and then I went several days after the release
mm-hmm.
and it was still packed,
yeah.
And it's crazy, it's just insane.
No, because we had to go the day after, and it was. Because when you got home, but I was happy I waited for you because Spider-Man has always been our thing and it would not have been as special.
Like, I would have been a little sad if you hadn't waited.
I had to see Far From Home without you because you were literally being an adventurer in Wyoming off in the woods.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because I went to West Side Story on Monday of last week and I know I went on a Monday, but there wasn't a single person in the entire movie theater.
Yeah.
Like, we walked in. There wasn't anyone working at the front desk.
Yeah.
Like, we could have just walked into any movie we wanted. We
yeah.
paid for our tickets. But, like, we literally could have. There was no one in that building. And Abby and I were like, oh, this is not good. And then we went the next day, and there was, not the next day, later in that same week, and it was packed. So, it was kind of refreshing to see.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to see.
Even though COVID is scary and a thing, but it was still nice to see.
Exactly.
I'm boosted.
So, I'm boosted too.
We're boosted, so
wearing masks,
exactly.
Doing what we can, so we can keep going to places like movie theaters.
So do your part, so we can keep going.
Exactly.
Yep. Anyway, let's dive in.
Okay, I want to ask you first
before
we dive in too far.
Okay.
What did you expect from this movie?
That was my first question too.
Like, close was it to your expectations?
Okay. So, spoilers, right here. I did think all the Spider-Man were going to make an appearance.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried about how much they were trying to do in this movie. I thought it wasn't possible to make it well done. I thought it would never meet people's expectations because Spider-Man is something that, you know, this is a three-generational movie. And I was worried that there was no way that they could do anything right enough that film Twitter and, like, people online would just not be toxic about it and tear it apart.
Yeah.
So I was really nervous about critic reaction to this and just, I was worried they were going to put way too much movie in it that it wouldn't make sense. I don't know how they found a way to do it, but it was so freaking well, like, balanced.
Yeah.
You still had the little moments and awesome big scenes.
I was going to say, it was about the same for me. Mm-hmm. Like, the best part about this movie, I think I told someone, like, right after I saw it, was mm-hmm. that it is kind of exactly what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Yet, it was, like, executed better than I was expecting.
Yeah, that's
like,
the execution
is what mm-hmm. exceeded my expectations, but the plot is kind of just, like,
kind of what everyone, you had mapped it.
What I had imagined mm-hmm. this movie being, but it was still way better than I could have even imagined.
Like, except for the ending, which we won't get into yet.
Oh, I have some thoughts about the ending.
I do, too. Well,
we'll get into that, but I've been waiting to talk about the ending with someone.
Yeah. So let's first just, like, get into, like, Peter and Ned and MJ without mm-hmm. talking about the ending.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that obviously changes things a lot.
Yes, yeah.
So, what did you think of, like, him and MJ now being, like, established relationship? They kind of had a slow burn going into mm-hmm. this final movie. Were you happy with how they balanced that?
I was really happy with it, honestly. I was very happy to see MJ as not just, like, the mm-hmm. unattainable love interest anymore.
Yeah.
Because that kind of storyline had been a thing throughout the first two movies. And now it seemed like MJ and Peter could, like, finally just exist as their own characters and exist as, like, a couple
mm-hmm.
in a way where they both definitely, like, supported each other and, like, needed each other for this movie to be mm-hmm. successful. So that's what I really enjoyed.
No, I 100% agree. Peter and MJ, I really love.
I really love them.
But what I really appreciate about MJ in this movie specifically is I thought she was really well done. Far From Home, sorry.
Yeah.
They're all, like, all the same.
Yeah.
Far From Home, No Way Home. But she did come off as slightly just, like, the sassy girl kind stereotype.
Shy, quiet, but, like, also sassy and, like, just kind of, like, quirky. Like,
you didn't really see into how much, like, her, like, fears are mm-hmm. that much of character traits, really.
Yeah.
And I really feel like we got a sense of who she was in this movie. And,
we
like,
did.
Her hesitations and just how she makes decisions. Yeah. And it was, I don't know, it was kind of refreshing to have more of a complicated love interest when that doesn't always fit into these big Marvel movies.
Exactly. I felt like just seeing her and her whole situation to do with the college admissions
mm-hmm.
and how she was treating that made me have, like, a more in-depth perspective on her character.
Yeah, exactly.
Because normally I would think MJ is so confident and cool, she would just be like, oh, I'll get in, it's fine.
Exactly.
But this movie showed you the side of her that was so doubtful, and I was like, expect the worst.
Yeah.
And, like, seeing that side of her was really cool and really interesting.
And, like, she made a few little comments, and you're kind of realizing why she comes off as, like, crass and mean is mm-hmm. how much, like, she doesn't expect things out of relationships.
Yeah.
You know, expect the worst and you won't get, like, disappointed with it. And, like, how she reacted to Peter and Ned in the first movie makes a lot more sense because mm-hmm. she was too scared to even put herself out there.
Exactly. I think this whole movie did a good job of all the characters, mm-hmm. just adding that layer of depth that helped understand their past actions.
That expanded on what they'd done in the past without ruining anything.
Exactly.
So Ned, he kind of took a, like, he wasn't as big of a deal in this movie, it feels like. But yeah, he was.
I was going to say, it seems like he's a bigger deal in this movie.
Yeah. So I feel like he wasn't as big of a deal to Peter almost, which I don't know if that's wrong.
I understand that. I feel like, I didn't see him in connection with Peter and kind mm-hmm. of their friendship as much. Like, obviously, I still saw their friendship, but, like, I didn't see those little moments that they shared together, like, the first two movies.
Because there wasn't any scenes where it was just those two.
Yes, and I think that's also a factor of them including more MJ in Peter time.
Exactly.
You know? But I do think Ned, as a character himself, was established, like, really well in this movie.
Exactly.
I liked being able to see, like, oh, his grandma, they're at his grandma's house.
I loved that scene.
And can we talk about how Ned literally has magic.
Yes,
that is what I've been waiting to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
I knew as soon as he said, when they walked into Doctor Strange's place.
That's coming up.
He said, oh, I get this weird tingle in my hands, like, yeah. Sometimes. My family says we have magic or whatever, and Doctor Strange is like, go to your physician. I was like, Dr. Strange. Ned has magic. I know it.
And I'm really excited. I know that's going to come back into play. I just don't know when.
This is not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I can just envision a Disney Plus series with Ned.
Oh my god.
Wouldn't that be Ned so amazing? With like
Wong.
Yes,
and Ned Wong. And Wong is teaching Wong. Because those two personalities together would be so interesting.
I know. I want to see that so badly. And I would love to see more of just like Ned's character. Because he's so funny. Like,
he's so underrated.
Everyone sees him as like the funny guy, but I just want a little bit more depth to that whole story. Because he's really interesting and,
you know,
underrated.
I don't feel like this is the end of Ned and MJ. We'll get more into this later.
Yeah.
Because they established that. They alone makes me think there's a future for them.
I was going to say the exact same thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Gives me hope.
So, I don't know if you want to talk about, like, Happy or May or go into villains first. Because what happens with May, we might want to put it off. So, your pick.
I was thinking we could talk about Happy and then villains. And then we can go to May. Yeah. And then Peter.
Yeah. All of that. So,
yes, yeah.
I freaking love Happy in these movies.
I love Happy. He's never, like, a giant character in any of the movies.
No, but he knows his place. They mm-hmm. fit him in so well.
He definitely adds the humor, but mm-hmm. he also adds the motions when needed. Exactly. He's never just there for, like, mm-hmm. a scene just to be, like, a very neutral character. It's either, like, jokes yes. or, like, punch you in the gut with sadness.
Like, they find a way, for him being a background character, he moves the story along way more than we realize. He ties him into the bigger yeah. MCU while making it more of a small story, like, personal story. So, yeah. The parts that they make him play are amazing. I was so disappointed in the first scene we saw with Happy, though. With him and May, like, breaking up, essentially.
Oh, yeah. I was like, is this necessary?
Especially with where they took it. Was that necessary?
I don't think so.
It was.
That could have been cut from the movie.
And Peter, like, literally just having his identity revealed, which mm-hmm. we haven't talked about yet, and being more like, no, you can't do that. And I'm like,
that was honey, so funny. He was more priorities. Worried about their relationship yeah. than his own, like, livelihood.
His like brain was like so fast circuiting that he's like, okay, I'm just gonna, what the hell, this is what I want to focus on, not my life being ruined.
I think that's a good example mm-hmm. of just like how Peter Parker is. Exactly. You know what I mean? That's so true to just the character.
Exactly. All right, so villains.
Okay,
I feel like we need to say that this is the Spider-Man that we have like grown up with more.
Yeah.
Like, I remember seeing the first Spider-Man when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I didn't watch it a lot. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I've recently watched a few of the older ones. But yeah. we haven't seen, like, half
of them. We haven't seen, yeah, all of them.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen Spider-Man 3, for instance.
Yeah, me either.
Or the second Andrew Garfield movie.
Which people, I think, argue are, like, the worst of those series. Yeah, exactly. Again, I'm not one to speak because I've not seen them.
Exactly.
And I feel like I definitely should see them now, especially after seeing this movie. But I went into this knowing about as much as I could about the villains.
Yeah.
Googling some stuff.
Yeah, that's also what I did.
Having watched a little bit of some of the movies.
Yeah.
That helped. I still understood where the villains fit into the movie. I still got what they wanted us to get as an audience from it.
So with, you know, us not being the most, like, lifelong Spider-Man fans. We are very big Spider-Man fans, but that came later.
Yes, yeah.
What was your favorite villain performance as these being more like new characters to you?
I love Doc Ock. Because I like how he's like the kind of villain that is, he's like the good bad villain. You know exactly. what I mean? Like, you know he's brainwashed. And when he's not, like, I just think it's so awesome. Like, his character is just so cool. And I know during I don't know. His character is just cool. Mm-hmm. He's funny. The acting, phenomenal. Exactly. All around my favorite villain from this movie.
I agree with you, and I'm actually, like, very excited that you said
it. Yes.
Because that was also my favorite performance.
Yeah.
Because when Green Goblin, I did not care for, I don't even know if you've seen Green Goblin, the originals. I did not care for him in that one. That's unpopular opinion. I, you know.
Yeah.
But I think him and Green Goblin were the standouts, the villains.
Yes.
Mainly because of the last arc of Green Goblin with Peter.
Yes. Yeah.
But Doc Ock was the perfect way to introduce him with how his character, like, just how he speaks to Peter was the perfect way to introduce the villains. Because he has a very personal relationship to Peter Parker in the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And so it was a good way of making the characters more connected instantly and, like, getting the full grand scope of how much we're connected.
Like, kind of bridging the gap between the two Spider-Man movies, essentially.
I think if the line wasn't in the trailer, it would have been so much more impactful, even though it still is impactful, but "you're not Peter Parker" is, like, such a pivotal moment.
It's like,
that movie. You're like, oh,
he's not from this universe.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Also, that full fight scene to introduce the villains, so good.
That was a good fight scene.
It was so fun. Like, you were literally, like, second-guessing where they were going, and, like, I'm normally not even that big of a person for the action in these films, which is weird. You know, I'm very much, like, character-grounded person.
Yeah.
But how they did action in this movie was so, like, stupidly entertaining.
Yeah.
That I never, like, the movie's 2.5 hours long, and I not once thought, when is this, like, how much was left of this movie?
No, I never wondered
that. I was so swept up in what was happening.
Yeah.
That when it ended, I was like, oh, geez, okay.
I also really enjoyed the action scenes. I know for the past two Spider-Man, like, MCU Spider-Man films, people had kind of complaints about the action, I think. I might be wrong, assuming, but I read some stuff about that. But
I think the last one specifically
was executed very well.
The last one, I do like Far From Home. It's definitely I think it's my least favorite in the trilogy.
It is the least favorite in the trilogy for me.
Yeah, for me too.
Like,
but I don't hate it. I do think, like, Peter's relationships with his classmates is really solid. And I think Mysterio is an interesting villain.
Well, it's so necessary, though, to set up this movie.
It set up this movie so incredibly well that I almost feel bad dissing it now.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like a lot of
and
people
I
feel the same way.
And I had so much fun watching that movie.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good movie, but it just wasn't great, and it wasn't my favorite.
No, it was very much mid-tier Marvel. Like, it was a very fun movie, but it wasn't, like, holy crap, top three Marvel.
Whereas I can say confidently, this is top-tier Marvel movie.
Oh, confidently.
And most people, I think, who have seen it can agree.
Yeah, I've seen everyone on Twitter being, like, the meme where they're, like, deleting their first row and putting in Spider-Man, like, yeah.
Yep.
That's the mood right now.
Exactly.
Okay, so my least favorite villains. Let's talk about that. So
I want to hear your thoughts on this.
Sandman?
Yes.
Was one of those that the CGI of him, I just don't know if there's a way to make him look good.
I was going to say the exact same thing. It's not necessarily even the CGI.
I just don't know
about his character that much.
Yeah, so
and
he just seems stupid.
He didn't seem like that intriguing of a villain to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe it was just the way this movie presented him, but he seemed like not that big of a threat, like kind of just like,
because he first came and I almost thought he was not a villain,
like he was gonna be helpful.
Yeah
exactly. He was definitely my least favorite, I think, out of all of them, just because he wasn't as interesting.
And the Lizard felt very much like a Sony Marvel movie with how they just didn't quite look right.
They didn't, there's that too. But they also felt like an afterthought. Just
the
like
Lizard especially.
Like,
yeah.
They knew which villains everyone wants to see return.
Yeah.
And they knew which ones that they just have to have in there just for, like,
yeah. And honestly, like, they were my least favorite, but I'm not, like, mad about anything.
No, I'm not mad about
because
them.
Because they weren't that big a part of the movie.
I just wasn't that interested in their characters
exactly.
At all. And but Electro, I think, was a solid, solid character.
Yeah, he was a solid, like, middle-of-the-pack character.
Yeah.
I thought his, like, conflicts were being so interested in the energy was a cool concept.
Yes.
And I know a lot of times people get annoyed with how much they bring in Tony into these movies.
Yeah.
I think the arc reactor was, like, the perfect balance of a little bit of Tony Stark without it being, like,
mentioning Tony all the time.
Yeah, the full movie being about
him.
Even though we are, like, I love Iron Man, so I never had that big of a problem with
me
it.
Me either, yeah.
But I did think the arc reactor was the coolest slight touch
that
of Tony.
That was so cool. I was like, don't steal it. I know you will, but you're gonna steal it. But I also kind of want to see what happens when you do, because
exactly.
That's kind of awesome.
But, like, exactly. It's, like, the perfect amount of fan service that you're like, that is cool, but it also works well with the plot.
Exactly. It's perfect.
So you want to do the May things. We're talking about villains, and that plays into...
I guess we have to jump into this.
I don't want to talk about May. It's so... Oh, my
I have
gosh.
A lot of thoughts about this.
Okay.
it made me very, very sad to watch what happened to May, because obviously, huge spoiler.
Yeah.
May dies. And
I was not emotionally prepared for that. I did not expect that at all.
I did not expect that. I wasn't...
That was my biggest surprise, I think.
Yeah, I guess I was going to say, when I said, like, I expected exactly everything, like, this movie met my expectations perfectly, I did not mean it in that I knew May was going to die, or any character was going to die. So I was shocked. I was really, like, sad, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But part of me thinks it was so necessary. It was one of the things that made this movie so good. And it's really so necessary to Peter Parker's character.
I kind
of
agree with you. I was, first of all, the moving the, you know, Uncle Ben type scene to the third of the trilogy
is really makes interesting.
It way more impactful for Peter.
Yes.
Because in the first Spider-Man, Uncle Ben dies after, like, one conversation with Peter.
Yep.
And you're kind of like, he's crying over a random old man.
Yep.
And this movie, we've seen, like, her balancing the fact he's Spider-Man and supporting him. And, like, clearly we know she's a strong reflection of who Peter Parker is.
Yeah.
Especially, and it made the line with, you know, and you hear with great power comes great responsibility so much that most of the time when it pops up in a Spider-Man movie, it's cringy.
Yeah.
And it was so well earned that it was equivalent to the Avengers Assemble line in Infinity War.
It was like, we've been waiting for this moment.
They, like, used it. And, you know, they knew it was in their back pocket. And we all thought they weren't going to do it.
Yep.
And then when they did, it was so much more powerful.
Exactly. And I
God, it hurt.
it hurt so bad.
I loved her Aunt May.
But you know how I was, I was literally telling you a couple weeks ago, like, I love the Tom Holland Spider-Man. And I love these movies. They're great. But the one thing he's missing is the Uncle Ben storyline. Because I think that makes Spider-Man and Peter Parker, like, it makes the character. And when I said that, I didn't have in mind May dying.
Yeah.
But it does fill that place.
So with that, because they kind of establish, you know, Iron Man dying as being his Uncle Ben. We all thought that was it.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, he was clearly upset and far from home, but we didn't get the full-on completely changing his life aspect of him dying. Like, it was still impactful, his relationship with Iron Man.
Yeah. Like, it helps develop his character in one aspect with the whole, like, hero and responsibility, like, aspect is more, I don't know, like, it was, like, more so the hero aspect of it all, and him, like, grappling with the responsibility of being a hero, and then Aunt May was, like, the responsibility of being a good person, almost.
Exactly.
And so it was kind of like this sounds weird, both deaths contributed to the movies and his character.
Yeah, they both really moved him.
Yeah.
Now that we've established Aunt May and our heartbrokenness about her dying.
Yeah.
Are you ready to move into the big three?
Yes.
The Spider-Man.
I'm finally ready. I've been waiting to talk about this with someone who understands.
Okay. Because I feel like we have very similar thoughts on all three Spider-Man popping up.
Yep. Which is obviously the moment so many people have been waiting for.
I have been picturing in my mind for months what that moment was going to look like.
Me too.
And honestly, the scene, I was expecting it to be way more high stakes when they came in.
Me too.
And I kind of like that it was a more domestic scene because it really established what their take on the characters was and how it was different from Peter by having those little moments. Did you like how they introduced them?
I did, because it was unexpected. Mm-hmm. Everyone expected them to come in during, like, the final battle and right when Peter needed them most. But it turned out that because of Aunt May's death, like, he needed them most when he wasn't in battle and afterwards. And I think that just added another.
So the fact that they came in perfectly timed because obviously with Peter losing Aunt May, they get that trauma.
Yeah.
It was so nice to see someone losing someone so important in their lives to them and them properly breaking down.
Yes.
I know that's a weird thing to say.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Because that's what you want to see. You want to see them, like, completely torn apart and, like, devastated.
No, because I think some movies brush it over, especially Marvel movies. When there's a death, people seem to move on very fast.
Exactly.
Or, like, have unrealistic, like, emotions to it. I just think that Tom Holland's acting in the scene was phenomenal and really just showed the feelings that someone would have been going through in a situation like that. And it just was heartbreaking, but it is it really was what this movie needed.
Well, and the fact that we saw Ned crying over it when they, like, yes. cut to that scene.
Oh,
because that is realistic. Like, your best friend's mom essentially yeah. dies. And you're not only, like, feeling it for him, but you're, like, obviously close with her as well.
Yeah.
And then the fact, I'm so glad when they cut to Peter that yeah. it was Ned and MJ the first ones to confront
yes.
him. Because if it was the Spider-Man, it would have felt more forced.
Yes, exactly.
So it felt so much like they were, like, coming together as, like, their own little family. Because, and as MJ said, we're all he has left.
Yeah. That moment
that gutted me.
Was absolutely my favorite of the movie, I think.
I
don't know
honestly,
if I could say there's
that
a lot.
Full scene might have been my favorite, though.
But
that's when all the Spider-Man yeah. first come together.
Yep.
And you see how important their bonds are.
Yeah.
It's so impactful.
That moment. Just that when MJ and Ned are hugging him, and I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was crying during that scene.
Yeah.
It was exactly.
I cried the most.
Like, if they were going to kill Aunt May, I'm glad that they did it in such a good way. Because they did everything
in the way
you
she deserves.
Yeah, exactly. She was an important character who deserved to be not only, and her death meant something.
Yeah.
It, like, completely altered how Peter thought about things
yeah.
and confirmed, like, Peter's morals and everything, so.
It's also a good way of, like, switching up the story from the past two movies.
Exactly.
Just to add something
no one
a little
was
bit different,
expecting
making it your
die.
Own. Yes,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Alright, so now let's get into Toby and Andrew's Spider-Man.
Yes, okay.
The internet is in love with Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man.
Yes.
I want to hear your thoughts of him in this movie.
Okay, I cannot say much on Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man because
I
have barely seen his movies.
Me too.
So I don't even have, like, that close of a connection with him, but I know
mm-hmm.
so many people do. But when I saw him come through the portal,
my soul left my body.
Yeah, I literally jumped in my seat and, like, I just got this giant adrenaline rush. Like, I was so excited, and I barely even have this connection with the character.
Know.
Just because, like, his costume, his whole character is just so iconic.
Exactly.
Even as not, like, a huge fan of those movies, like, I was still, like, on the edge of my seat with excitement.
And it was timed out so well, though, because the movie was getting a little too depressing.
Yeah.
So then it did refresh it while also
it did.
Still having that powerful storyline.
Exactly.
And, okay, I prefer Toby of the Andrew of the two other old ones. But
yeah.
I do, like, because Andrew Garfield, because I'm not as familiar with Spider-Man, I've never thought of him as Spider-Man. And, like, I just watched Tick, Tick, Boom.
Yeah.
So he was the one that felt the weirdest to be in a Spider-Man costume for me, because I kept picturing, like, Andrew Garfield as an actor.
Yes.
And, like, as a person. But how he came in, and because, you know, people don't love how he is as Peter Parker, but it was kind of a redeeming arc for him.
Yeah.
Coming in and being a better Peter Parker than he was in his own films.
He's a phenomenal actor, and I think just, like, the writing of the past few
it
films
was refreshing
did him very
to see
dirty,
how
so.
Much he's grown as an actor.
Yeah,
too.
It was nice to see his
for
acting.
For him and Toby.
And to see good writing combined made
mm-hmm.
his character
good directing,
really lovable, really, like, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I was impressed.
I think another part of it is that the superhero formula is so established that they've learned how to make these movies heartfelt and personal while still being massive.
Mm-hmm.
And it really helped Toby's character. And it, like, their acting just seems so much better, but they're
yeah.
also older now, so.
Exactly.
But that being said, he felt a little bit more to the side, and he felt like Toby and Tom's were
really
more the standouts.
I felt like Andrew and Tom's. Stood out more
that
than
is interesting.
I don't know. Maybe it's the whole thing that I... Okay, before we, like, move on to talking
mm-hmm.
about Toby, we have to talk about Andrew saving MJ. Because I think that's what made him
I called it,
spin.
By the way.
I feel like so many people called
I know,
it.
We
I
all
saw
called
it,
it
so coming. Like,
yeah.
I saw that coming.
It was still... We all saw it coming, and I remember telling someone at work, because he's
mm-hmm.
like, oh, they're gonna kill MJ the same way. I'm like, no, I'm calling it right now.
Yeah.
Andrew's... And I thought that was gonna be the introduction to him in the movie was him saving
yeah
MJ.
Me too that yeah
so that was I didn't call that but it's even though we saw it coming because
it was
they
still
put it
amazing.
In the trailer
yeah
it was still so satisfying but when MJ asked him are you okay my heart broke for him
yes
oh.
that line was perfect because he was like sobbing and she just sees she just barely met this guy.
Yes.
And she knows how much it meant to him.
Exactly.
And that moment meant a lot to so many people. And it was just, it was amazing.
And moving more into Toby, sorry.
Yes.
It's just, like, my brother grew up with the Toby Spider-Man, and so I knew how impactful him being there would be. And him playing more of, like, the uncle role.
Yeah.
And just being, like, this, like, he totally looked at Peter like this poor kid. Like, he remembered that he was in that stage.
Yeah. And he's, like, seemed more old and wise. Almost.
Exactly. It was an interesting take. With the youth pastor
clothes.
I know. Yeah. Oh, man. Because there was a TikTok I saw that when they got Andrew to do the movie, he's like, I want to be in the Spider-Man suit as long as possible. And, the joke is, Toby is like, I'll be in the Spider-Man suit for, like, one day.
Exactly. Yeah, why does he... I still don't understand why he didn't...
I don't either.
I'm not going to get into that. Never mind. It's just...
Like, he just played, like, a small, like, guidance role to him. It was so subtle and... sweet. You could kind of, it's like Tom Holland's and Tobey Maguire's Peters are more similar, which is why I think their little interactions felt so natural, because their takes on the character are a lot more similar than Andrew's is much more of like cool Spider-Man type vibes.
Yeah.
But the way that they kind of acknowledged that by having Andrew's be a little obnoxious was
I really appreciated that, how they handled that whole thing, because it could have been so cringy, but it was done so well.
Also, Andrew says the line about always wanting brothers, that was so sweet.
I know. They had so many iconic lines that I just need to watch it again.
I know, I legit cannot wait to see it again. Especially that line, when you remember that all of them only have like, no family, really, is so much more impactful.
Yeah.
And they have to say goodbye to each other, obviously.
Because that's such, like, a fundamental part of Peter Parker as a character. He's kind of just, like, alone.
Another thing, there was so much fan service in this movie, but it was all exactly what we wanted and well done.
I was gonna say, the web.
Yes, the web. That's exactly what I was getting at. I wanted them to address that because...
Yeah.
This is a debate, like, newer Spider-Man fans are like, web coming out of you is creepy. And they kind of acknowledge that. But then older Spider-Man fans are like, that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And that is 100% the conversation they had. And they kind of, they was so similar to how people actually debate about this. And it being just like a fun, no, I understand, like, it not being important.
Yeah.
And it was so funny to see how it wasn't important. They just were like so interested by it.
Yeah. It was definitely a good comedy break, too, at the moment. Yeah,
exactly. Also, we got to account for them acknowledging the meme.
Oh, yes, the pointing meme.
The pointing
meme. As soon as I knew Andrew and Toby were in this film, I was like, if they do not do the pointing meme, I will be so upset. I don't even know why. I just needed it to happen.
It needed to happen. The internet has somehow, like, acknowledged that as being peak Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And... this is a little embarrassing. The movie was going so fast and intense in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
That part completely went over my head.
Really?
And then you said afterwards, meme. I'm like, oh, yeah, they did do the meme.
I had been waiting.
I need to see it again, though.
I've been looking the entire movie for this moment. I was like, when are they going to do it? Because there are a lot of scenes where they're kind of like all talking in a circle. And I was like, point at each other. Come on, point.
Come on. It's so easy. Just do this.
And then they did.
Yeah, but I saw a screen cap on it online. I'm like, oh, they did do it.
That's it was just so satisfying.
Exactly. It wasn't overdone.
It was natural.
It wasn't like the drawn out, staring at their eyes, like, what? Okay, another thing that I loved about the Spider-Man interactions was, it was a really, because it was Tom Spider-Man, so obviously Tom took the lead. But them, like, talking about the Avengers.
That was so interesting.
So good.
I didn't even think about how they would discuss that, because... I don't know, it just hadn't
crossed my mind. Thought about it.
So I thought it was, like, just a very intelligent way of making it kind of a joke out of it, but also, like, establishing the multiverse is so weird.
Yeah, like, the fact that Tom was the youngest Spider-Man, but he was the only one who knew how to work as a team, was so interesting. And, you know, Tom's future in the MCU is completely different than what I was expecting now at the end of this movie.
Too.
But they did establish him as a leader.
Yes.
So that will be interesting if we have another big Avengers movie.
That is true.
If he's in that, will he be taking a similar role? Because even though he's young, he clearly knows how to do it. Because them not knowing how to work together and then Peter being like, guys, I'm in a team, not a band. That was Are you in a band, sweetheart? I love you. You're so supportive.
I think it's interesting because before mm-hmm. I was when we were watching like Far From Home, it was very much like, oh, Peter might be the new leader of the Avengers because yeah. like the whole Tony Stark thing. And now it's like, who knows what Peter is going to
exactly.
do? He could do so many different things and they could do anything with the story that it's just.
And what I liked about him taking the lead here, it felt earned.
Yeah.
And then in Far From Home, it did feel a little bit like, oh, he died.
So you're
let's
up next.
Picked him.
And now it feels like he's earned his place. And it's exactly. kind of like the first movie. It's like, he has to kind of earn his spot as an Avenger, kind mm-hmm. of, you know?
Yeah.
It's all about that, honestly. All of his movies have been about, like, earning the title of the hero, you okay. know?
So, I saw something online that this trilogy was really Peter's origin story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's such an interesting take, because obviously we don't know, like, Tom Holland's contract is up, but he's, you know, he's coming back, probably. We don't know how much more he'll want to do,
yeah.
and what his, what he'll negotiate his contract to be, but we do know they're working on more plot lines.
Yeah.
So.
I was actually thinking about that the other night.
Yeah.
Like, it seems more like, almost like, his origin story, his prequel,
mm-hmm.
but it took three movies, you know what I mean? It wasn't
exactly.
just, because all of the other movies had that established essential traits of Peter Parker, like the spider bite, the Uncle Ben, whatever, and it took till the last movie for all this stuff to just, like, be mm-hmm. established.
No, and each one established him in a different way, and I think part of it is that this was his high school trilogy.
Yeah.
And in the other movies, he's only in high school for, like, half the first movie.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you definitely see him grow up more, mm-hmm. which is just kind of a benefit of them being able to know that they can make as many of these as they want now, because they
yeah.
make money.
Well, that also scares me.
Yeah. Because
I'm fairly confident that there will be another trilogy. And I'm just scared that leaves so much room for it to be awful and really bad.
I know, because they set it up so well that, like,
they
you want to see Tom Holland's next chapter.
Yes.
And, if I were writing the movies, what I would do is, this is what I really want to see. I want to see his next movie being a much smaller story.
Yeah.
Because that is why I love his trilogy. It started off so small, and I love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But now I want another smaller story. And I want it to just be him killing a Spider-Man, but Peter Parker is in this.
Yes.
And then, like, I want the end of his trilogy to be the introduction of Miles into the MCU and him stepping back. That is how I would do it, but I'm not a Marvel producer, so.
I mean, that would be...
That's my dream.
That would be ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they are kind of setting up for something like that to
happen.
They are
setting up Miles.
Just based off of the way this whole last movie went. Like,
exactly.
I feel like you were onto something.
Like, they're gonna establish Miles. It's more of a question, because I could see them establishing them sooner. I still want Peter Parker to have another movie before that happens, because I feel
yes.
like he needs that
yeah.
before he steps into that role. Because he needs to figure out his personal life, which doesn't exist now.
Yep.
Before we can, like, add in the full Miles storyline.
Yeah.
It would just be too cluttered if they put him together. We'd be like, but we need to see what's happening with him.
Yeah. And what really makes me think Miles is going, what really teased it, was that moment when Electro was like, no offense, man, but
mm-hmm.
I just really thought you were going to be black.
Exactly. And I'm like, yes, it is coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a question of when. Especially because
yeah.
Donald Glover's character is his uncle. Like, they've established he's Miles Morales' uncle.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember
yes,
his
remember
exact
that.
Name.
Yeah.
But, like, he literally is the name, that his character name.
Yeah.
So he is gonna happen. Like, he literally said in that Homecoming,
yep.
I have a nephew in this neighborhood.
It's gonna happen. It's just a matter of when and
exactly.
they better time it right and make it,
like, that moment feel as impactful as No Way Home
as it
feels.
Should. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, if they do that right, that could feel like a colossal big Spider-Man event. Like,
oh, yes. People would go nuts for
There's
that,
a way to,
me.
Like, build that story up to make... Because, you know, how do you top No Way Home? You top it with the world's best introduction of Miles Morales at the end of an entry.
Exactly.
Kind of really stepping back now, because this is the beginning of the movie.
Okay.
But Peter being famous. What were your thoughts of, like, his identity being out? Like, him, like, going to school and, like, we can acknowledge Flash now, too.
Yeah. Oh, obviously he needed to try and go about fixing it because of, like, the whole college thing is what
yeah.
drove him to it. But I'm just confused why he thought that going to Doctor Strange and saying that the world needs to forget that he was Spider-Man was a good idea. Because couldn't he, by that logic, have asked Doctor Strange to have the world forget that Mysterio was ever existed? Like, it's just, this leaves so many rooms for plot holes. This was the biggest weakness of the movie
is that part. And it's also, I think it's the last time we'll see this Spider-Man make the iconic he's a stupid kid mistake.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of made that in every movie. Like,
that's what all these movies have been about.
He's trying his best, but damn it, he's a kid and he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Because that was 100% him freaking out, going to Doctor Strange without thinking it through, not even, like, trying to appeal to emissions or anything.
But it's also Doctor Strange's fault. Because he's the adult in this situation, and he should have known that, he should have explained to Peter what the, like, he should have been like, just to be sure, I don't want to do this.
Thank you.
Think about all of the people that you know and love who are going to forget this.
He didn't explain that to Peter.
He didn't explain how anything worked. He was just like, sure, I want to have fun, mess around, because I owe this kid one. Like, who cares? Whatever.
Because he's, you know, That's Doctor Strange, out of character for Doctor Strange, too.
Which really bothers me.
It really just established, like, it's 100% his fault, in my opinion. Yeah. Because you have a high school kid who just had his dream shut down. He was just freaking out and not being rational.
Yeah. If like, I would have done the same thing.
Like, even if you're assuming,
yeah.
Before you make a spell that you're like, could alter the multiverse, maybe be like, you've called admissions, right? Maybe be like, okay, but your aunt's gonna forget about this. Your girlfriend's gonna forget about this. You know, you gotta go over all these questions.
He's the adult in this situation. He should know. You know?
Exactly. Sorry, we literally have people watching us do this episode, at least. As if it's not awkward enough that we haven't done this in 6 months.
Yeah, I feel a little terrified right now.
A little bit. Like, who knows if there's even anyone out there who still subscribes to
this. So I guess it doesn't matter anyways, right?
Okay. Just one last thing about, like, beginning of the movie high school stuff.
Yes.
His teachers. I'm glad they fit him in.
Somehow.
Like, they did such a good job of finding ways to sneak every, like, little established thing we wanted into this movie while still being so big.
I don't know how they did it, to be honest. It's impressive.
I loved that one of his teachers was like, oh my gosh, he's Spider-Man. While another one was like, he's a murderer.
Because that's how it would be in real
life. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, like, my high school experience, that's what teachers are like, man. They're 180 differences. So many people wanted a Flash redemption arc. I don't think it was, like, I personally thought, you're not going to get a Flash redemption, but with how they did it, I was satisfied. Like, he barely fit into the movie. We all wanted to see his reaction to him finding out that Peter was Spider-Man.
I think they did what they could.
Exactly.
The amount of time they had. And also, I don't really care that much for Flash in the first place, so
I don't
like to see
him
be redeemed.
I'm glad that we got to see... Exactly. I don't think we need to spend that much time on that with how much was going on.
Exactly.
I'm glad they established it, because it would have been in the back of your head like, oh, come on, that's what I wanted to see.
Yeah.
They didn't need to do anything more. Like, let's just talk about, like, Peter Parker by himself, kind of, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yes.
Like, what I liked about him in this movie... We already talked about Uncle Ben arc.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one thing I liked about this movie is how much they set him up for being independent.
Yeah.
Which clearly is going to come to a big thing now.
Yeah.
But I liked how it was the first movie we really saw him making all his own stuff.
Yeah.
Completely uninvited.
Mm-hmm.
And the lab scene with the Spider-Man.
Yes. It just shows how smart
everything
Peter Parker as a character is.
Exactly.
Which a lot of people forget. And I think a lot of people complained about... the whole Tom Holland Spider-Man was that he was, like, basically Iron Man Jr. and just, like, used all of his technology.
Yeah.
And wasn't, like, smart on his own. He wasn't on his own. Like, all of this. Like, and now this movie, finally, we saw him step away from that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't know. It's one of his biggest strengths as a character. Mm-hmm. So it was really exciting to see him, you know, establishing that he... is, like, freaky smart and just, like, going on and on.
Yeah.
And being the nerdy Peter Parker that he is.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we want to address Peter Parker? Because I realize we basically talked about everything else I have down.
I feel like we've addressed everything kind of briefly.
He really became the perfect Peter Parker in this movie.
Yes. All I have to say on that is that Tom Holland had his best performance in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter Parker was his best as a character in this movie.
Exactly.
So it overall, like, how can you go wrong with that?
I saw somewhere that they're like, Sony really went and fixed every complaint people ever had with Tom Holland Spider-Man in this movie.
They said, oh, we're not risking people hating a movie again.
When it turned out, really, he just needed time to grow as a character.
And I think this had been a plan all along, that these three movies were all about growth. And so people just needed to be a little patient with it.
Right?
And that's why I'm proud to say I stuck with these movies all along and was always a big fan.
And when you're establishing Spider-Man into something as big as the MCU, you needed to, you couldn't put all of Peter Parker at once. Because you needed to, you know, establish him as being part of this mega superhero world.
Exactly.
I think I've talked about most of what I want to talk about. Have we talked about the ending?
No, we really, the only thing we haven't talked about is the ending, so I feel like that's a good place to kind of wrap up.
We haven't talked about Doctor Strange, but I think it's fine.
Okay, here's my thing with Doctor Strange. He was barely in the movie. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I didn't want him in the movie.
I was
more
scared
than
he was going to be in the movie too much and distract from the fact that Peter Parker is obviously the main character.
Exactly.
And luckily, that didn't happen. That's pretty much all I have to say about him in this movie.
I'm excited to see where he goes next more than I was before, because I don't love the Doctor Strange movie. I know you really like it.
Yeah, I like the first one.
Yeah, I don't love that one. And now I am more excited after seeing this movie.
Yeah.
I was gonna say I'm excited to see, like, how he reacts after the Spider-Man thing, but he doesn't remember it.
Yeah.
So that's a little frustrating.
Yeah.
Because he clearly made a huge mistake there. Would have been interesting to see. So getting into how he doesn't remember it.
That is the whole thing with Peter Parker sacrificing everything.
Oh, man.
He loves.
I don't know how to feel about it.
And for no one remembering him, it's just, that was just heartbreaking.
I don't know how to feel about it. Because part of it feels kind of cheap. Part of it feels like everything we've established by watching these movies is gone.
Part of me feels like that is what could possibly lead the next whatever movies in the wrong direction, is this decision. Just because it leaves room for them to, like, just get rid of all of these characters they've already established and characters people care about.
Yeah.
I mean, if done right, it's a cool way to lead into the next movie. If you're talking about, like, it sets him up as a person on his own.
I like how they're not scared to just pull the rug out from under us. But yeah, it
kind of left me shocked.
Yeah, a little bit like how I felt when they had revealed his identity.
Yeah. It's like, it kind of needed to happen.
Yeah.
But also, it just made me so just sad.
So do you think, because I think their contracts are up as well, but we kind of already spoke about how we think Ned is not done because of Wong.
No.
Do you think we're going to see, like, a Gwen story arc with Peter, which I do not want.
No, thanks.
His MJ is perfect.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to see MJ and Ned pop up again?
I think so. I mean, if they, see, that's the thing, like, if they don't, like, I think that will be the biggest flaw of
that's what
movies.
I'm the most worried about.
If they do, I think they should, and I think it's more likely that they will show up again just because they've spent three movies establishing their characters and also
establishing how important their relationship is to
I think they're really important to Peter Parker as a character in the MCU, so
I'm so nervous about it.
We'll see. That's honestly,
I think a big theme is going to be he's good at being Spider-Man, but he's going to have to let himself open up again. I don't know if I've said that already, but I think that's the next big problem for Peter.
Yeah, I can see that happening. And I don't know. I think the whole ending of this movie with him not saying anything to MJ and Ned when he saw them was just a big way to frustrate us and tease us. And I think maybe even possibly early on in the next movie, this will somehow get
fixed. I could see it being either very early on,
or take a whole movie.
Or it literally them teasing it at the end of the next movie.
Yeah.
And them having a small part. Because I doubt that they're going to put them in press next tour if they are in it.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt that they'll put them in trailers. And they're going to completely make us up in the air on this one.
Yeah. It will be the thing that keeps everyone on edge for this next movie.
Exactly.
And interested. Yeah.
All right. So, that is all I have to say on Peter Parker. And Spider-Man No Way Home. Is it your favorite Spider-Man movie, or does No Way Home still... Homecoming still for you?
Indifferent...
I know, right? Like, they serve different purposes.
The different ways, they're both probably my favorite. I really like this movie probably more overall. Homecoming I like, because for me, it's that nostalgic Spider-Man movie that I watched as a teenager, really connected to, was obsessed with, still love it, and it's just a good, feel-good movie. It's funny. Like, I can never like, I would never be able to not watch that movie. Like, exactly. I just always, like, if it, this new movie, I need to see it again to establish my feelings on it. But, like, I definitely, like, it's probably my favorite. But I just, like, I need to see it again just to be sure.
I need some time with it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Homecoming is a big personal thing for me.
Yeah.
It is what got me hooked on Marvel.
Yeah.
I thought Marvel was stupid. I didn't even want to see Homecoming. I went into Homecoming, and then I was obsessed with it instantly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
From the first scene of, like, him recording himself, I was, like, completely, like, I love this character.
Yeah.
And so, it's, like, my favorite comfort watch. I've watched that movie so many times. It always, like, makes me happy. And so, it's overall come down, I don't know. Because I think this might be a better movie.
Yeah.
But
it's a better
Homecoming, I just love.
Yeah, I think it's a better movie.
I love how it's small stakes.
Yes.
I don't know.
I think No Way Home is a better movie technically, but it's just, it's a matter of
they both do what they do.
Nostalgia
very well,
and
yeah.
Yeah.
And I think people need to acknowledge their nostalgia bias when they're talking about movies.
Yeah.
Especially the Spider-Man movies.
There's so much bias.
Yeah. Because people are like, Spider-Man 2 is the all-time best Spider-Man movie. I'm like, is it?
I think a lot of people's opinions change though after seeing this movie.
I think
on which one, even people who are fans of the other trilogies more.
I think everyone respects this trilogy way more now that it has completed its arc.
Yes, which I'm very happy with because I've always respected and loved this trilogy, and I think I've always been kind of offended when other people didn't. And now I feel like I finally
when people
have
would
merit.
Say like he wasn't the best Spider-Man, I'm like, you're wrong.
I allow other people to have different
views. No, I do allow that, especially if they acknowledge that's the Spider-Man they grew up.
Yes.
That's why he's my favorite Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That being said, he does have the best trilogy.
I agree with that. He definitely has the best
trilogy.
Easily
the best trilogy. Because
and I think a lot of people agree with that.
Two of Tobey's movies are not very good.
Yeah.
He has one good movie. And Andrew doesn't even have a full trilogy.
Yeah.
It does kind of feel like Andrew got to, like, it was the end of Tom's trilogy, but it also kind of felt like Andrew got to finish his with
and
this movie.
Some people are saying this could be a
I don't want that.
Open doors for another Andrew Garfield.
Do you want
movie.
That?
I honestly
Everyone
am very
on Twitter
neutral.
Wants it. I would watch it. I don't know.
I don't see the
how
harm.
Much Spider-Man content do we need?
Yeah, exactly. I don't see the harm in it, but I don't think it's necessary.
I think it might like
it might
kind of degrade from Tom's Spider-Man
if
there's that much Spider-Man out there. I think it'll further confuse fans who are already like. Have trouble keeping track of the Spider-Man thing because if you're not, you're very casual MCU, you're like, wait, there's more, like, what Spider-Man are they on?
Also, I just don't think it's gonna happen. I just think it's wishful thinking.
Exactly.
And people are all excited.
Andrew Garfield, him coming back in this movie was a perfect way for him to, like, close out the Spider-Man on a better arc and actually have, like, a goodbye scene.
Yes.
And let's not mess
let's
with it because it
not
was
not mess
good.
It up further.
Mm-hmm.
That would not be good.
All right, Bethy, thank you so much for potting with me, for literally bringing our podcast back from the dead like the villains in this movie.
Yes.
Awesome.
It had to be done.
Happy 50 episodes of Watchable. We made it.
Oh, how perfect that this is
the
50th
episode.
Who would
have thought we would have, you know, for a while I was like, man, it really bugged me that we hadn't got to 50. So...
Well, this is perfect.
Exactly. So, thank you for potting with me for 50
episodes.
Of course.
We will probably just meet back again every once in a while
every
when
once
we
in a
see
while.
A movie that we absolutely love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who knows? It, definitely not like a routine thing anymore.
Nope. You have a big girl job. And
I have a big girl job. You do a lot of things in college. It's hard.
It's hard.
We live like 4 hours apart. It's harder now.
Yeah. We try.
We can do virtual ones. It's just not the same.
No, it isn't. So... You'll hear from us again, probably,
yeah.
But not anytime soon.
Thanks for returning after 6 months if you're actually listening. So, and thanks for listening to today's episode of Watchable.
This podcast is edited by Sophia. The music is from purpleplanet.com, and our graphic is by Maria Hernandez.
And
we'll see you next time.